Hey, Terrence, guess what movie I watched this week?
What did you watch this for? I should have asked. Well,
I think you can guess, right? Am I that unobvious of what I'm referencing?
That you could be referencing either the original Robin Williams movie.
I am.
Or are you?
Yes. Because I had, so we talked like a couple weeks ago. So at some point, we did an episode about like movies we hadn't seen that we probably should have seen by now. Forgot about Good Morning Vietnam, but that is on my list. And so I was on the plane, and they had that in the selection. I'm like, I've never seen this. This is a perfect time. So I watched Good Morning Vietnam, and it is correct to be hailed as a classic that it is. It's very funny. Robin Williams at his best, of course. I would say, though, have you seen it?
No, I actually haven't.
It's pretty good. If you like Robin Williams, this is just, it's right up your alley. I mean, he's making some references in the 70s that you're like, yeah, these are dated. Like, if you know your history, you might get some of these jokes, but some of them you're like, I don't know who that is, or I know about them, but not close enough that I would find this funny. But it's like it's a 2-hour movie, which is weird for like a movie in the 80s, but it's like an hour and a half of it was very much about like the comedic element of having this goofball do a radio show for troops and how important comedy is. And then there's a little bit of it of like the social commentary, which at this point feels weak, but maybe it was important at the time, because the social commentary essentially goes to say, hey, I don't think America was in the right for Vietnam. And I'm like, now that's a very common take. I don't know how popular of an opinion that was at the time. I know Vietnam War was a very unpopular war, even when it was going on. So yeah. I don't know if it was like I didn't feel like it was a very deep thing that they're able to hit. I'm like, if I want some deep, good stuff about the war, then maybe I'll watch like MASH. But although that's about Korea, less than Vietnam, but still.
Yeah, you know what? So obviously that line has been parodied in so many different things, but I don't know why. I thought you were going to mention that you watched the Chappelle Show and he dresses up as Samuel L. Jackson selling his beer instead of Samuel Adams. And he goes, good morning, mother.
I love that sketch. It'll get you drunk.
Why you'll are be you yelling?
Fat girls in no time.
Why are you yelling at me? Haven't you seen any of my movies?
How I talk?
That's what I thought you were referencing at first. No. Like, oh, that's a good one right there.
It was not. Let's real quick, before we have like a great episode, we're going to talk about movies this summer that we're excited to see or that should be on your list, or that are on our list to see. A movie that wasn't really on my radar, although I knew it was coming out, it wasn't one that I was like super excited about. Did you watch over the weekend the Rescue Rangers Chip and Dale movie?
Everybody's been talking about that movie. I gotta watch it.
I know. You're gonna like it. It's up your alley, because this has serious Shrek vibes, where it's like a movie that easily could have been like forgotten about or lost or whatever, except for the fact that it was just so good. So this movie, it is still PG, so it's not like it's, you know, adult content, but it's like Shrek in the fact that it's got all these adult jokes that's gonna go right over your kids' head. And it is it's geared for the whole family, so the adults are going to get those jokes, and there's a lot of references right from your and my childhood, plenty of references, it, like Who Framed Roger Rabbit type, where it's like all of this world exists with all these animated characters and human characters.
I heard Ugly Sonic's in it.
Spoiler, yeah, like I didn't know that, and so I see it, I'm like, oh my gosh, that was great. There's just references that are fantastic. It's there are some other comparisons I had about that, but it's just like, you know, you didn't see it coming, and Shrek ends up being this classic, and this is that sort of movie that it's way funnier than I would have realized it would be, but there's just such love for this stuff, but mixed with like that Andy Samberg, John Mulaney humor that's very meta, very referential. in the same way that Shrek was, so that it brings up all these things that you're familiar with. There are, like, you see Rick and Morty characters in this. You see South Park. You see South Park characters in this. They pull all these IPs that aren't even just Disney. You're like, what are these characters doing in this movie?
And Chip and Dale Rescue
and Rangers. Chip and Dale, and right off the bat, they make a Chip and Dale's joke.
That's awesome. I gotta see it.
But and it is still like, as a parent, you still can watch it with your kids. These adult jokes that they make, they are over the head of the kids. They're, it's not like draw a line from A to B to get the joke. You have to like go a couple layers to understand the joke that they're making. You know, like a character loves cheese and they talk about how much they love cheese, and as an adult you're like, oh, that's very clearly they're drawing this parallel of a drug addiction and it's like crack to them. But at no point does it ever feel like that's, you know, that's going to be obvious for anyone who's not under 15 or 14.
Yeah, I gotta watch it because I saw somebody else not like tell the whole movie, but they just talked about how they loved it so much. And yeah. So I was like, all right, I gotta watch that.
Yeah, my wife was even like, I did not expect to like this movie.
You know what movie I did rewatch though?
What?
I rewatched Doctor Strange, and I went in there with a critical eye this time, and I was like, all right, let me go back, see. The movie is not as great as the first time because I just wasn't, the first time you're just not expecting a lot of things.
Yeah.
But it still is good and it still holds up. And I feel like, and kind of like bridging what we're going to talk about today, I feel like that movie was I feel like for me, that movie was probably the movie of the summer for me, like going into this. Like, we're going to list some movies off, and I'm really, there are some movies I am excited about, but I feel like I've already seen my most anticipated, like, I feel good about this movie.
Yeah, not to draw a terrible comparison that other people might hate, but I remember when American Pie came out, and it was the same summer that Star Wars Phantom Menace came out. And at the beginning of the summer, before episode one comes out, there's not another movie on your radar for that summer. There's not another one that you're like, I have to see this one. It's like, I have to see Star Wars, and it's right away in May at the very beginning of summer. So American Pie actually had the really smart ad campaign that sticks with me today, where they're like, so-and-so newspaper compiled a list of the top 10 movies you should see after you have seen Star Wars Phantom Menace. And then it's like, name like the first, and like number four was American Pie. And then it just stops. It's like American Pie. I'm like, that's a genius marketing campaign, because that is what was going on. And I feel like that's the same with this summer too. Like Doctor Strange 2 was that movie, but there's still some that I'm like, okay, now that that's done, I'm excited still for these. So,
and I'm not saying I'm not excited. I just feel like that to me was the movie of the summer right there. That was really, I still really, really like that movie. It's a really good movie.
So there is another blockbuster movie coming out this month that I was not excited for because I didn't like the first one. So it's not like I didn't like it, but I'm not a Top Gun fan. I never saw Top Gun. I'm like, that was killer. I love it. Oh, it's so great. 80s. Woohoo. I like the 80s, but Top Gun, you know, it had one too many shirtless volleyball sweat scenes for me. I know there's only the one, but that's still one too many. Top Gun was like, okay, that was fine. But this Top Gun sequel is getting crazy good reviews. And I wasn't planning on seeing it in the theater, but there's a part of me I'm like, I might have to, because it's just being so well received.
Yeah, no, I've seen it too. And I forgot what movie I saw where they showed like 3 minutes beforehand of the movie. And I was like, oh yeah, that looks good. So it kind of got me into it. Because I don't know if, maybe it was Doctor Strange, I'm not sure. But they showed a portion of the movie where they do their first dog fights. Mm-hmm. And like everybody's like, oh, okay, what is he going to teach us? And then he makes a bet with them, like, whoever can shoot me down, you get so many push-ups, whatever, whatever. And it was a really good scene. I was like, I wasn't planning on watching it just because I'm sorry. I wasn't
Terrence fell asleep for a second. We're back.
Somebody texted me and it threw me off. But I wasn't the first one. It was just okay. So people, you guys gotta understand. I know sometimes it seems like I'm joking when I say this, but it really is a big issue. See, for me and my family, we did not watch Top Gun because there's no black people in the movie. And it's really, really hard. Even as a kid, it was just like, oh, I'm not represented. Why would I go see this movie? Like, they're going to shoot down the black guy first. Like, why am I watching this? And so I just never was into that movie. And so I'm sure it's good. Obviously, people always say that's part of, like, if you were to name Tom Cruise's top five movies, that should be in one of them. I personally, once again, I haven't seen it, but if I was to go off my top five of Tom Cruise, I would have to put Jerry Maguire.
Four of mine are Mission Impossibles, and one of them is Minority Report.
Minority Report was pretty good. Yeah, maybe. No, he's done more than Mission Impossible, man.
No, he has. I'm not saying he hasn't. The guy has made so many fantastic movies. You would put Tropic Thunder up there, even if that's not specifically a Tom Cruise vehicle.
I didn't even think of it as he was hilarious in that. Oh, man. Yeah, now I started the conversation go one way. Now I'm like, wait a minute, what would I pick first?
What did I do?
Oh, Edge of Tomorrow. So good.
I figured that would be another one because that was one of those like catch you by surprise Tom Cruise movies. Edge of Tomorrow was way better. I love when a movie like elevates above what it probably should be because that has all the recipe for being more like a B movie. Not that it would be bad, but for it to just be entertaining and then a little forgettable. But it was very memorable.
Well, I feel like that movie, I don't know if you saw that one with
Chris Pratt.
Yeah, the one on Amazon.
The Tomorrow War.
Yeah, I feel like that's what that was trying to be, and it was just boring. It was just like, okay.
See, I like Tomorrow War, but that does fit the what I was saying. Tomorrow War is that B movie that 10 years from now, I'll be like, I know that I've seen it, and I can remember a couple pieces of it, but the broad strokes of it, I only have. I don't remember a lot of the specifics.
Yeah. Yeah, no, Top Gun 2, I probably will see it. It does look really good. And so, but that is not on my list.
All right, hit me with a movie that's on your list that you're excited for this summer.
Obviously, being the Marvel guy, I'm going to have to go with Thor.
Yeah.
I just think that I don't know if it's a good palate cleanser because you got something so serious in Doctor Strange and then going to Thor. I feel like they're on two totally different sides of the MCU, not just in genre, but just in feel as well. And so it's kind of thrown me off. And I have my beef right now with Marvel where I'm like, I don't know what you're doing right now. You guys got all these random movies and all these random like spots. And I don't see the connection thread. I know where they're going. I don't feel like it's a strong connection yet, but they are definitely leading towards Secret Wars. For sure.
Yeah. I mean, didn't they announce they were doing Secret Wars and then they took it off their slate? Like they're kind of like it's now maybe a mystery. Cause I thought that they had announced it a while ago that they were going to do Secret Wars as a show with Nick Fury. And that's all that they had announced about it.
No, Secret Invasion. That's what you're thinking of.
Oh, am I? Okay.
Yeah. Not Secret War. Secret Wars is a huge thing in the comic books,
which requires a lot of buildup. So, I mean, they are now having to do that buildup, and that's completely fine. This movie, like, I don't think it's going to be bad, not by any stretch of the imagination, because one of my favorite Marvel movies is Thor Ragnarok, and it's the same director. And this one, now you have the added benefit of throwing some of the Guardians of the Galaxy on it too. I don't know how long they're going to be in this movie, but you are going to get some of the Guardians, and they're also freaking fantastic. Now, I'm very confused about how this movie is going to tie that in, because this was supposed to happen after Guardians of the Galaxy 3, before all the James Gunn controversy. So what are they going to do with Guardians of the Galaxy 3? Are they just not going to have Thor in it when they do Guardians of the Galaxy 3? And are they just going to try and like hit the beats that they were going to hit with Guardians 3 and Thor together, and then like do that in this movie instead? I don't know exactly how they're going to be able to do that and do it justice, but we'll see, especially once Guardians 3 comes out. But that being said, I am excited for this because I love Taika Waititi. He's really funny. And Chris Hemsworth, as of Infinity War and Ragnarok, he like is like, this is who I should have been playing all along. This is the character of Thor. Why have I not played him like this yet? So he's at his best right now.
Oh, and I would agree. Like, he's finally like found like who Thor is. And I feel like that was because of past directors and past writing. But definitely, I think starting off in maybe it was Thor Ragnarok, because I'm trying to think. I was like, in Age of Ultron, did he start to turn? I was like, no. He can see like pieces of it, but
yeah, he got steadily funnier. He was definitely more straight man in the original Thor. In Avengers, he was given a couple like quippy lines, and then he got more in Avengers 2 and Thor 2.
Yeah. So yeah, no, I think I'm super. I'm excited about it. I was gonna say super. I'm excited about it. I just am not excited as Doctor Strange, because I knew there was like something that they're building to. I just don't know. This movie does not give off the feeling like we're building to this. It's like, I don't know where they're going. I have no idea, but it'll be fun.
I want to be excited for Jurassic World 3. I really want to, because they are bringing back, especially Sam Neill. Like, Sam Neill is Jurassic Park to me. I know that the first one, like, you need Jeff Goldblum too. You need like all that cast of characters working together was really good. But Sam Neill had like this nice grounded realism where he was that like typical 80s action hero, like after John McClane, where it's the like, I don't specifically want to be here. I'm just good at my job. I'm just here for this. Like the reluctant hero dragged into everything. And he works really well in that capacity. And so I have not seen enough Sam Neill in like the last 20 years for movies. So I like to see him pop up. So having him and Laura Dern and Jeff Goldblum all come back, as well as mixed with this new cast, which again, the newer cast, I love Chris Pratt. This
boring.
New cast, it's missing something.
Yeah,
so I really hope that they find what they're missing, because I want to be excited for this movie. I wanted to do better than Fallen Kingdom. I was entertained by Jurassic World, but it still is missing something from the original, so hopefully they find it. Let's pray together that Jurassic World Dominion is gonna be worth it. So even if it's not I'm excited for it, I want to be excited.
Number one, I can't believe you missed an easy connection here, as we were talking about Thor Ragnarok, and then you jumped to Sam Neill. I thought you were already making the connection of, speaking of Thor Ragnarok, and then you could have connected it. Sam Neill, come on, man.
I could. Speaking of a character who cameoed for 5 seconds in Thor Ragnarok,
but no, I would agree. I think the Jurassic World series is doable, I guess. I've never been really excited about it. I feel like, and I know this is heresy right now, I feel like Chris Pratt is not as good as we think he is. I think he's had a really good director and a really good role in Guardians of the Galaxy, but other than that, there hasn't been a lot of movies since then where I was like, oh my gosh, he was so good in that. Like, ever since he's kind of like blown up, there hasn't been anything where I'm like, Chris Pratt is awesome. Like, he's great. I think he's hilarious, but I feel like he's that choice where everybody's like, oh, we just need somebody in this movie. You know what, Chris Pratt, he works for every role, right? And it's like, yeah, I guess he's serviceable, but
that is a little bit of Harris. Like, okay, you have the problem with him that you have with a lot of these other actors where he's not doing enough variety, even though, like, you look at the character like Owen versus the character like Emmett from Lego Movie, they're vastly different characters. It's still, he's bringing that same energy to the role and he's not drastically changing it too much. So it's, and then we have the same problem that we always get with these actors who have that same energy for all these roles and then are in everything, you get tired of
them. They got the same stick. I'm not going to bring up two people I know you're already thinking of. I'm not going to mention it.
We don't need to bring them up. We know who we're talking about. When you talk about characters or actors of the same energy that are oversaturating the market, you've got the same
people. Yeah.
The same list.
Well, and I would ask you then, yes, I would agree. The Lego movie was great. Yes, I would agree with that. But didn't that come out around the same time? Oh my goodness, yeah. This is ridiculous. Didn't it come around the same time? You probably saw what I saw.
Yeah.
It came out around the same time as Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, I mean, he's been doing this sort of thing. Like, he launched like four new franchises really quickly, all at the same time. So,
I don't know. I just feel like, and Bryce Dallas Howard, I think in the Jurassic World series, I feel like they're like, well, there's got to be a woman to bounce off of the male leading role. She really doesn't have anything to do in the movies. They just put her in there. For me, the scene that totally captures this Jurassic World is her running in high heels from the Tyrannosaurus Rex. That is ridiculous. That was unnecessary, not needed. I felt like they had to have been laughed. That must have been a joke. But you can't film that and go, oh, this is some serious like drama going on here. Like, come on, man.
That's impressive. It shows how amazing Claire is as a person that she can book it for like 40 miles an hour in high heels. Guys, we have a superhero in these movies. You didn't even realize these movies were about a superhero. They are.
It's ridiculous. So all we have to say, I like the premise of where they're going with this last Jurassic World movie in this new trilogy. I felt like the second one was kind of boring. I wasn't excited. I knew right off bat. I was like, oh, they're going back to the island. What a surprise. This is what they did in the first one. But this third one, I like the premise of like, okay, these dinosaurs are actually out in the world now. And how are we dealing with that? Which brings another question about this movie. How is Sam Neill, he is still a dinosaur digger upper person. How is this possible? How is that whole field still, that should be gone. It should be done. It'd be like, hey, let's study the 21st century. Let's get some historians in here to study the 21st century. We did that. What are you talking about?
We do have that. We have whole industries that are practically obsolete, but they're still operating in the exact same way. News media, for one. They've like, oh, well, we have a website. Okay, great. You have a website, but you still do print paper. Like, you still feel like that's a big bread and butter winner for you. CNN Plus just was like, let's try and do something new. And we'll have a streaming service because people want to pay to watch the news. No, people don't want to pay to watch the news.
You know what's funny? So you know how like if you pull up like news articles and sometimes they're like, you got to pay to get it. Every single time, I know how to get around. I don't need to pay, but I know how. Now I feel bad. Now I'm putting all these journalists out. I'm sorry.
I don't even do that. I just pretty much, I'm like, oh. Well, I guess I'm not going to finish this article. You'll never believe who was in a car crash. Well, guess I don't know now.
I'm not paying $1.99 for this. This is ridiculous.
Well, Terrence, we haven't gotten here, but I know we're headed here at some point. So I'll segue for you. Let's talk about Jordan Peele's Nope.
Did we literally have the same list?
No, like, that's just the problem, is like looking at this summer, there's not ones I'm like, oh, this is great. I've got one I do want to mention that's like not your typical summer blockbuster that you might not have even guessed. But let's talk about Nope, because I know that that's going to be a big one.
Yes. Nope, I am excited about this. Obviously, Jordan Peele, he has been on fire ever since Get Out. And you think you're coming into something and you are going to be like, all right, he's going to give me the same thing. But then Us, I don't feel like that was anything like Get Out.
Nope.
And so I'm really interested in it now. This one seems like it's about aliens. And it's just like, what? Like, this is totally like, I did not see this coming from him. And so he has not failed to impress at this point of time. And so I'm interested.
It could be about aliens. It could also be just about like a weird weather, like having a mind of its own. That's what, when I first watched it, that's what I thought legitimately it was. Cause like the poster is like this cloud and like a kite coming out of the cloud, and everything in the promotional material is all about like the sky, but not showing you what's in the sky. So that was what I first thought. And then like someone said aliens, I'm like, that makes more sense. But at the same time, is Jordan Peele just going to go with aliens? Because I know the plots of Us and Get Out, and those aren't really your traditional plots either. So what are we going to get?
That's the mystery of it. I don't know. I really, and this is like one of the few like last like movie writers, directors that I really don't know what I'm going to get. I'm surprised. And like back in the day, I would have said that Steven Spielberg, Christopher Nolan. But we all know if you go see a Christopher Nolan movie, I can kind of figure out where he's going with it. I've kind of like got his whole gist up. It's going to do something with time. It's going to be this slick, smooth. But Jordan Peele, I haven't figured him out yet. I don't know where he's going. And so I'm interested.
Granted, we have a sample size of 2 movies from him. So we might get acclimated. But
that's the thing. Like, it was just like, we saw Will Ferrell on SNL, and you knew he's going to branch off and do some crazy comedy. I saw it. Jordan Peele, we got the Key and Peele show. This has nothing to do with Key and Peele. I did not see this coming. He did Key and Peele for like 5 seasons. You would have think he would have gone on to do some crazy comedy. I can't get a read on this guy.
And Keegan-Michael Key's like, dude, I'm still making comedies. Can you cool it a little bit? You're making me look bad.
You make me feel like I don't have any talent. What is this? I'm excited. I don't know what to expect from him. I feel like he's done such a great job. And so I am excited to see. Nope.
All right. I don't want to take really any time on this because this movie doesn't deserve it, but it is coming out this summer. My kids love Despicable Me and Minions. We are getting a Minions 2 movie. And I like movies like this for the reason that I enjoy taking my kids to the theater and having like a theater experience. So I'm only excited for that part of it. I'm not excited for the actual content of Minions 2, because Minions 1, I was actually surprised with how much I laughed in Minions 1, but the story is hot garbage. So there's some good parts of Minions that I will still quote, like the guy who was torturing the minions, and then at the end of all of the torture, like he takes off the torturer's mask, is like, it was me the whole time, when you obviously knew it was him. And like, slam, I love that joke. There's some really funny stuff in this movie, but Despicable Me 3 had zero funny. That wasn't even funny at all. So
I think I fell asleep in that one.
I hope we get some good comedy again, even if we're probably going to get a crappy story. That's all I wanted to say about Minions 2. Do you have any feedback about Minions 2 before I move on?
No. I got zero for you. That's not called Minions 2. How about that? It's called The Rise of Gru.
The Rise of Gru.
Yeah.
Gru. Not there Gru. It is.
Gru.
Yeah. Rise of Gru was Guardians of the Galaxy 2. So I am a little interested in this movie with Brad Pitt called Bullet Train.
Yes.
So okay. I've seen a preview for that. And I knew you'd be on board with this because it looks interesting. It's one of those that so Brad Pitt, it's a bit of a mystery where he's on this train and then like realizes there's all these people trying to kill him, or there's I can't remember from the trailer that I watched the full plot of it, but it just seems like he's thrown into something that is bigger than he is. And so trying to figure out what's going on this train, but he's got that same Brad Pitt personality, like straight out of Ocean's movies, where that sarcastic type. So I'm interested to see that character handle this assassin filled train with the aplomb and sarcasm of Brad Pitt that he does so well.
No, I feel like Brad Pitt to me is one of those people where I will go and watch any movie he does. And this movie does, because I feel like we haven't seen like a full movie of Brad Pitt in a while.
Yeah.
Because I'm trying to think of a movie he actually starred in.
Yeah.
I would have to look it up.
Yeah, I mean, the last movie I can think of him in, but I mean, besides like Last City of Z or whatever that Sandra Bullock one was.
He didn't even star in that, though.
He didn't, exactly. But the last one where he even has a pretty big role that I can think of was Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. But again, that's not his movie so much.
Right.
We just got a good amount of time from him, but wasn't his whole movie. So yeah, last time he was, I would say like Ocean's 11 is, he has enough screen time on that I would put that in what you're talking about. But like for him to lead a movie, I don't know.
It's Ad Astra or
Astra. Oh, that's right. Yeah. Ad Astra, which that was a slow movie. I was like, what's the best way to say it? It's very slow.
I don't even know if it was good or bad. It just lost my attention. I was like, okay, this is really, really slow.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, that's so. I'm excited to see this movie. It does seem exciting. It does seem fast paced. And so, yeah, no, yeah. It seems good this summer. I just don't, it's not going to be my favorite summer of movies, I can already tell.
Yeah.
But that's okay. I'm just glad that we can go back into the theater.
You know what I'm actually more excited about than the movies is I'm actually more excited about the TV we're going to get this summer. Because like we got Kenobi coming up pretty soon. We've got Stranger Things dropping this summer. We have, so Better Call Saul is tonight, if you're listening to this on Monday, tonight is its finale for like this first half of the season. And then it comes back again in July. And I think, is She-Hulk going to be during this summer too?
Yep.
So we got, in June. You're right, in June. And then we've got another show I watch, Only Murders in the Building. Season 2 is going to be in June. So there's some really good TV coming out that I'm super excited for. And that's not just to plug my TV Guys podcast, but it's like a lot of this ties into movies. A lot of this is like movie quality. Like Stranger Things Season 4 is going to have some episodes that are over 2 hours long.
Yeah, I know. I was just like, I feel like this is the last Stranger Things.
So. It is, yeah.
And I am really excited about it. I feel like people now, we're coming to this day and age, this golden day and age of TV, where they're putting sort of the same attention and somewhat the same money. That's the one thing I would say about all of Disney Plus. They do really... They put their money where their mouth is. Yeah. And so I haven't seen something that's cheap. I feel like at the end of, Falcon and Winter Soldier, they kind of ran out of money on that. And they're like, oh, we got to finish this up. Okay.
Sam, just talk to these congressmen. Okay. I'm Captain America now.
But those little things here and there, but for the most part, all their shows, I'm like, that's pretty top notch right there.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I would agree with you. We're in a great spot for TV at this current time. Hopefully movies will catch back up. And remember, we lost a lot of movie momentum. And so for the past 2 years, it's been really rough. Things got pushed back and you got all sorts of movies that got moved and like just a whole, because think about it, what, 6-7 months ago, we were going to get Wakanda Forever in July.
Yeah.
And so it's like everything got messed up. So we just got to catch back up. That's
I mean, not to mention the crap movie again, but Minions 2 was supposed to come out in 2020. The Top Gun was supposed to come out in 2020. So there are still movies from 2020 that are coming out this year. And I think after this summer, we'll have been caught up with that. So I think kind of that backlog is going to start spilling out again, and we'll get more into where we were. But we're there.
Yeah. All right, well, that's going to do it. You let us know, what do you think your kind of movie you're looking forward to in the summer of 2022. Next week, we're going to be talking about going back. Instead of summer 22, let's go to summer 2002.
Boom! Yeah,
there we go. Going back 20 years. We'll see how that goes, see what movies we're excited about, and see what movies it was terrible, and we shouldn't have been excited about that movie, but we'll talk about that.
If you look up movies that came out in 2002, I guarantee you one's going to pop out, and you're like, oh, I was excited for that, and it was garbage. Guarantee you, you're going to know which movie we're talking about.
The whole world was excited for it, but we'll talk about that next week. Other than that, I'm Terrence.
And I'm Matt.
And we're telling you, go watch some movies, okay? If you haven't seen Doctor Strange, go see that. If you haven't seen Chippendale Rescue Rangers, go see that. And we'll talk to you next week. Peace.